that the moment I decided that I want to do content creation and be a creator for the rest of my life, God made all the resources available.
Have you always been a religious person?
I grew up Christian, but I wasn't always Christian. I had lost a really close friend of mine who was like a pillar in the church. And it confused my faith because I was like, how do you take this person away from the church? Yeah. I'm struggling to believe that you're real. Mm. I'm struggling to believe that you care about me. I'm struggling to believe that you're present everywhere. I'm struggling to believe that your will is good.
Yeah.
It's not cool to talk about Christ and talk about God because it convicts people.
Have you ever experienced any challenges?
People tend to disqualify those who share the gospel based on their past, based on their mistakes.
Oh, but you were like this, weren't you doing this?
That's the whole point of the gospel, that I was like this, and now I'm not.
Exactly.
Would you look at that?
Hey guys, you're tuned into Unfiltered Chats with Z, a podcast for open and honest conversations of challenges and experiences of the youth. Get ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and much more. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered Chats with Z. Today we're diving deep into the intersection of faith, doubt, spirituality in the digital age. I'm your host Z, and I am excited to have Kaya M with me here today, also known as Adi. So Kaya is a content creator as well as a podcaster who enjoys sharing insights about womanhood and faith. And today's discussion is going to be really interesting as we talk about how young people navigate and figure out their beliefs in a world that is always connected. Kaya, I am excited to have you
that
here
today. That
was
a fantastic intro. That was such a great intro. I was like, wow, she's taking our jobs. She's going to take over.
How are you?
First things first, guys, explaining my voice. It's like this because Satan decided he wanted to knock me down. But I'm undefeated, okay? So I'm here. I don't know if it's a flu or a fever. But other than that, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Kind of nervous, you know?
Why? But it's just me.
I don't know. I get nervous every time I have to do a podcast. Like, each episode, I haven't gotten used to it.
I was about to say, like, you're well into it. You should. The nerves should be gone by now.
Nah, they're not. So can you tell us, before we go into the topic of faith, can you tell us about who you are and where are you from?
I think you gave a good intro as to who I am right now. Digital creator, podcaster, a minister of the gospel, a creative in my own regard. I think, that's more what I do.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who I am. That question always throws me off because I never know where to begin. But I think a good place to start is a child of God. Emphasis on child. Because I think, like you said, I navigate through my faith with an audience. And what that looks like is obviously making the mistakes that children make and then making the giant strides that children make as well. So that's at the center of my identity. What else am I? I think I'm charismatic. I think I am quite the bubbly one. But as per identity, actually recently I've been, what is the word? Not necessarily. I've been reinventing. That's the word. Because it's been a tough year. Oh my God, we're only 4 months in. But it's been such a foundation shaking year. I would say that's forced me to revisit who I am, what my values are, who I want to be. It's forced me in that direction. Yeah. So I definitely am still figuring that out.
And where are you from?
Where am I from? I was born in Kempton Park, unfortunately. but my family is from, home is KZN, Newcastle, KZN.
So now that
I was about to ask you, where are you from? I forgot this is like not our podcast, yours.
Okay, if you want to know, I am from Pretoria. I've been like staying in Pretoria. I'm from Centurion. And
far.
Yeah.
Far from everybody. Yeah. Everything.
I've been there my whole life. You know.
How would you describe yourself? I'm not going to throw every question back at you.
Yeah. How do I describe myself? Interested. Firstly, I would say that I'm a shy person. Like, for me to actually do this podcast.
A shy person with a podcast.
Yeah. I think this podcast is going to help me, be more open, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm not used to talking to people. Because I would say I'm, like, socially awkward, so I'm not good at, you know, creating conversation. Yeah, besides that, I would say that I'm goal-driven. Like, you know, I like to set goals for myself. And, you know, I really, sometimes I do think I get hard on myself and I don't, you know, achieve those goals. But, yeah, I'd say I'm goal-driven. And Yeah.
You know yourself. I wish I did.
So can you tell us about how you, you know, got into the whole content creating thing and how has that been for you?
I always say that, like, I got into content creation by coincidence. It was a massive coincidence. But maybe, you know, divine intervention. I don't know. I haven't had that conversation with God yet. But I was supporting a friend of mine and just, like, I was part of his YouTube video. And that YouTube video happened to go viral. Oh. And so did I. I also happened to go viral. And everybody was like, start a YouTube channel. Like, start influencing because you've got, like...
Also, before that, you weren't really on social media
No. I was not a social media person. I didn't even think of going in that direction until the video went viral. And everybody's like, okay, now this is the direction that you should move in because you have a larger audience. And so I did. But in the first year or so, I wasn't really passionate about it. It was just because it was the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
At the time, I only recently developed a passion for it. I'll say towards the end of last year. Yeah. That's been it. And again, I've only recently been intentional about the content that I created. Before, I would just post whatever I wanted to post, whatever made sense for my personality or for the audience. But as of late, I'm taking, you know.
So I heard on one of your videos that you're doing full-time content creation on Tato and Levels podcast. How did you make that decision and how's that going?
I made that decision because I'm a creative and I was in corporate at the time and I was suffering. Oh my God. I was like, I'm just a girl. At the time, I was 21. I was like, I'm just a girl. I have so much life ahead of me. Yeah. I'm not going to sit in this boardroom with 40-year-old people discussing databases and whatsoever. And so even then, I had prayed about it. I was like, Lord, I have these platforms and what I'm doing right now is not fulfilling me. And it's just, I feel like it's sucking up precious time that I could be using to do something better. And he literally steered me in that direction, actually. I never thought about it. He steered me in that direction because the moment I decided that I wanted to do content creation and be a creator for the rest of my life, God made all the resources available. Like all the it was October. That's when Mpo, Mami Dearest, she was like, let's start a podcast. I was like, look at the timing. So, God's plan. Absolutely.
So now that you're talking about your background, I wanted to ask, have you always been a religious person?
No. I grew up Christian, but I wasn't always Christian.
What do you mean?
Like... I identified as a Christian, but I didn't practice anything.
Oh.
I didn't really believe.
So was your family religious?
Yes. Oh. Your church every Wednesday, church every Sunday, every last Friday of the month is all-night prayer. You're going to all the special services. You're going to all the conferences. We have Bible study at night. I went to a Christian school. So my family was incredibly religious, but I was rebellious against it for a very long time. So like, hey, yo, I'm just a kid. Like, I don't care about going to heaven. I'm living right now.
So when did that change?
When did it change? I think it changed in 11th grade. So that was like 2017. And I decided to take my relationship with God seriously. And then something happened in first year. What happened in first year? I think it was in first year that I had lost a really close friend of mine who was like, a pillar in the church, and it confused my faith because I was like, how do you take this person away from the church? Yeah. Like, this person was, and he fell ill.
Oh,
so I was like, how does he fall ill? How do we lose him And then I still, like, it messed up. It messed with my faith a lot. And I kind of just distanced myself from God in my first year. And then I came back to God in second year. And that was because I had faced, like, a lot of abuse in a relationship. And it ended. And when the relationship ended, I felt so misplaced. I felt lost. And I felt broken as well. And I said, oh, I remembered God as the creator. I said, you created me, recreate me because I'm broken. And that's when I decided to be, you know, intentional about my relationship with God.
So I really want to talk about, you know, the topic of faith in the digital age. So how do you think, you know, the accessibility of information about different religions has an impact on young people?
I think, was it the Apostle Paul? He said that in the last days there will be very, very many voices, right? And very many versions of the truth. We live in an age where there are over 250,000 denominations of Christianity alone. And so having so much access to all this information can confuse an individual as to what the truth is or who the truth is. And so it's important to implement discernment, because again, 250,000 denominations of one faith. So yes, it's well and good to be informed.
Yeah.
You should be informed by other religions and how it pertains to your particular faith. But navigating that, you have to be very, very careful.
Mm, yeah. 'Cause
deceit is not an outright lie. It's telling the truth enough times that you believe the lie the one time that it's told. Oh, my God. Come on. Work with me. Yeah. But, yeah, I think discernment, caution is really important in the digital age.
Would you have, like, do you have advice on how someone could, you know, like, have discernment? And how would they know if their discernment is right, if that makes sense?
I can only advise the child of God, because that's where, you know, I'm versed enough. Anybody else who's not a Christian, I can't advise you on how to use discernment, because I navigate with the Holy Spirit. But as a child of God, it is important to know scripture. So in watching a video or listening to a sermon, if you know scripture, you'll know what is not scripture.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we were told that we will know them by their fruits. So the direction in which the sermon is going is really important. Is this person pointing to Jesus, or are they pointing to self? Another way to exercise discernment is through prayer. Pray about it. You know, pray about everything that you hear. There are a lot of, again, false prophets in this age. Hey, I had a dream that tomorrow a bridge is going to fall. And the people in Kempton Park must be careful. And, you know? Or even like recently with April 8th, the eclipse. And somebody like sent out a prophecy that the eclipse is going to be the rapture. Hey. So Pray about these things. They can feel scary and they can feel real, but the reality is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. So having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is also important. And that is cultivated by scripture, by hearing the word, by having conversations with fellow believers, I think. Also, God gave us like a natural instinct to know that this person is talking nonsense. Like, Jesus was not God's type. Yeah. Like, what is this? Okay, I was throwing shade for a particular.
So with the rise of online communities, how do you think those communities help individuals shape themselves and find their identities? Like, example, I saw your Women of the World page. How do you think that is helping, you know, shape the identities of young people?
I think man, they foster an environment for people to be open. And I think openness breeds trust, and it breeds, it breeds trust and further transparency. So with fellowships like Women of the Word and Jesus this, Jesus that, and Jesus in me, people get to come as they are. Because I think church, a lot of people steer away from church because they feel like they have to look a certain way, or they have to sound a certain way. Or I think fellowships kind of just, even every Christian community,
they take kind of
eases that pressure away, and you're able to say, I'm struggling with this, or my faith, I'm having an issue with my faith. These communities are humans being humans to humans, and it's the essence of the church. That's why Jesus established the church, so that we can build each other up. And that's important because Jesus is not God is not a God of distance. He's a God of relationship. And in those communities, you find relationship, and you find correction, and you find direction, and you're steered in the right direction as it is, as it pertains to the word, that you don't lose yourself. I think they also serve as an environment for accountability holders.
Like
in your community, they are going to hold you accountable, and that also keeps you upright.
And I think because some of these communities are low-key smaller, it's easier for you to connect with, you know, people easily and then to get help, compared to, like, you know, a church where there's more people. So, like, the attention is not necessarily on you.
Right.
Yeah. So, actually, I want to know more about Women of the World. You know, how did you come about, you know, creating that fellowship, and what is it about? How does it work? How can someone get, you know, involved in it?
How did Women of the Word begin? I genuinely can't pinpoint the day where I was like, yeah, I'm starting a fellowship for women. I think I had seen something. I remember now. I was scrolling on TikTok, and I had seen a bunch of Christian women had met up to have something they called Bibles and Brunch.
I think I've seen
it. I like this. What is this? This is nice. And then I saw that it's not in SA. It was in the UK. I was like, okay, fine. And I just scrolled past. I'm like, ugh, sad. Okay. And then the Holy Spirit was like, start something like that. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. And I ignored it for a very long time. I was like, start a fellowship. I'm not qualified. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, the way that I'm living my life right now, it ain't good enough to lead a fellowship. So I ignored him. And then later that evening, he's like, start the fellowship. I was like, wait, dog. Let me relax first. Right?
Yeah.
And so it was a constant urging from the Holy Spirit to create a community for women. And then I finally gave in. I was like, okay, let's do this. But I'm going to need you to hold my hand, because I feel like I'm far from qualified to do this. And so I went to my Instagram. I'm like, guys, I want to start a fellowship for women. What do you guys think? And everyone's like, yes, let's do it. Even the name. How did I come up with the name? Yeah, that was instant. I didn't have to think too much about it. And okay, so you asked me how it began. That's how it began. Yeah. What was the question?
How is it going? And how can someone get involved?
It's going quite well. We have a worship night scheduled for the 30th of April. You're invited.
Okay.
All of you guys are invited. It's free, completely free. We're going to be worshiping all throughout the night. And how you get involved is just go on our Instagram page, womenoftheword.za. And in our bio, there's a link to join the WhatsApp group. But if you don't want to join the WhatsApp group, it's fine. Just keep up with us on Instagram and engage. We have our schedule is Monday, Wednesday, Sunday. On Mondays, we release our weekly tasks. So that's individual study of a particular topic. Last week, oh my gosh, come back. Last week, we studied the rapture. as individuals, and then on Sunday evenings we come together, and we're like, what did you find? What did you find?
I really like this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on Wednesdays we go live to talk about something completely different. So to answer people's questions regarding faith, or to just catch up, have a conversation about whatever it is. And then every 3 months we meet up in person for a fellowship. Either a worship night. Last year we had, it was also like a Bibles and brunch kind of situation.
Yeah, I think
and
I
then
saw
the year, oh, earlier last year we had like a picnic. So every now and then we meet up, depending on what we choose to do. So if we want to do Bible study or we want to worship.
Mm. And is there like an age range?
No.
Anyone
and everyone. Like the ages range from, I think there's somebody who's 13 in the group. There are a few 13-year-olds, and then there are a few 30-something-year-olds. So it's for everyone. And also the WhatsApp group, like, creates an environment for you to just share whatever you're going through, testimonies, prayer requests, because we do pray together as well. So even on the group, like, you'll see somebody send a random question. Even I sent a random question the other day. I was like, guys, why Jesus? You know? Like, what is it about faith in Jesus that qualifies you for a relationship with God? And somebody else will come and be like, guys, is this TikTok real?
Yeah.
Like, is what this person is saying in this TikTok true? And then we'll all be like, nah, that's not true. Like,
but I think that's really nice. Because, like, you know, now people who have questions, you know, can ask you guys. And I think it's really nice. So how do you think the digital age has made it easier or harder for young people to form genuine connections with religious communities or just their relationship with God?
I think it's made it easier. The gospel is more accessible now than it's ever been. And there are a lot more fellowships now than there have ever been. Like, you can Google church and Google will give you a list of churches near you or whatever. And it's up to you whether or not you join that particular community or not. Fostering authentic relationships, I think that one is a bit difficult because the digital space does create a distance between who you're watching and yourself. So I think that's up to the ones who exist in the digital space to foster those relationships, if I'm making sense. So if you're a minister of the gospel and you have a podcast, you creating a relationship with your audience is up to you, not necessarily, you know, you shouldn't allow the fact that it's a digital relationship to stop you from forming that connection or reaching out to somebody or helping them. So it definitely has made it easier to form relationships, and then the authenticity of those relationships depends on the creator.
Yeah.
Or the community, you know what I mean?
Because I was also thinking of, you know, those TikToks. I don't know, when I'm on TikTok, sometimes I'll see like a TikTok and it says, if you don't like this video, then God said this, this and that. So I feel like that's when it makes it, you know, harder. Because now it's like people are doing it for their likes. And then if I don't like, what if this, you know? Like, I feel like
that's been around since Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook has been. Or like those WhatsApp chain messages.
Yo,
like, if you don't share this, like 15 people.
And you were thinking you'd look at that message and just like, eh.
And you would. You'd think like, is it true?
Yeah.
Should I just in case. I'll do it just in case.
Yeah. So, I feel like that's what sometimes makes it harder.
I think in that regard, I think as a child of God or somebody who's navigating their faith, at the very least, steer away from the ministers who guilt trip. Yeah, that's gonna deter you from pursuing a relationship with God, because your relationship with God is not about guilt.
Yeah.
It's not about condemnation. That's the word I was looking for. It's not about condemnation. So if somebody's telling you, or if the overall theme of what the person is communicating to you is for you to feel guilty and condemned, steer away. Like, just grow.
Yeah. Just grow. So how do you think social media and the internet how do you think people on social media can help each other learn about their different religions?
how do I think people on social media can help each other learn? Conversations. Mm. Like.
And do you think it's important to learn about other people's religions?
I think it's important to learn about other people's religions because you have to have cultural context.
Mm.
If you're going to share the gospel, you have to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you have to know something about everything. And that includes people's religions. And I'm quoting, well, what is it? I'm paraphrasing a sermon by Jackie Hill Perry, where it's titled Ministry to Women at Wells. And the Lord Jesus had cultural context of the Samaritan woman in his ministry to her, because you understand why the Samaritans and the Jews didn't see eye to eye. And so even when you're ministering or sharing the gospel with a Muslim, you have to understand, like, you have to know what is the difference between Islam and Christianity. You have to have that cultural context, know what you're talking about. So knowing about other religions is integral to the gospel. So that also Cliff, I forgot his surname. But he's a popular, what are they called? Apologist. He goes on campuses and he debates the gospel, right? And he's also well informed about other people's religions because he'll provide proof, for scientific proof, for Christianity against that of other religions. So you have to, as a child of God, you can't be oblivious to what's happening. And I think having conversations about faith is as easy as going live, talk about it. Like, what
and
is
I
it like?
And I feel like a lot of people think, because they think that learning about other people's religion is them, like, not like becoming that religion. And it's not necessarily that. It's just to learn about it and get information about that. Yeah.
You also have to be... You also have to be steadfast in your faith, because other religions, we can't be naive and say that other religions are not convincing. Like I said, deceit is not an outright lie. It's telling the truth enough times for you to believe a lie. Even in learning about other religions, first secure your faith. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't find yourself in a shaky position faith-wise, and then now you're going to go look at other religions. You're going to be swayed to and fro very easily. So before you even venture into learning about other religions, I think it's important to make sure yours, you know, you are secure in yours. And I really, like I said off camera, I'm really proud of you for having such a great podcast, because you're making conversations about faith so easy to have. And so normal, like, you're normalizing faith conversation. Before, it was not cool. Like, what do you mean we're talking about faith? What do you mean we're talking about God? Like,
oh, you have to do that at a specific place, at a specific time, on a
specific channel. But podcasts like these also really create a good community for people to have conversations about faith, or the lack thereof. So kudos to you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, what do you think about mega churches or churches in general? You know, do you prefer the old school churches or like the modern day churches where, you know, I guess, you know, they make it more easier for like the digital age to, you know, understand the word?
I think, I don't have an issue with mega churches. I was also part of a mega church at some point. I think, let me word this correctly before you guys find me. Churches should be wary of trying to be too modern. They have to be very cautious about that, because you don't have to be like the world to attract the world. So even the concept of a Christian club, I saw it somewhere on TikTok. I was like, ain't no way, boy. Like, there's no way we're going in this direction. What do you mean a Christian club? So it's basically like just playing hype Christian music and just clubbing, but with Christian music.
But with Christian music.
And Christian people. don't know. Hey. That to me is a worldly concept that you've tried to Christianize.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good direction to go in. Even just like secular music in the church to try and attract the masses. Again, I was part of a mega church where we did that to try and like reel them in. But now is not the time. The time for that is done.
Yeah.
Now is the time for truth. Now is the time for discipline. Now is the time for separation from the world to show that we are the church.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't mean being rigid. Like you can have a movie night at church and watch a Christian movie, sure. But there are certain practices that are of the world, that originated in the world, that we have to be very cautious about bringing into the church. So is it an issue? Yes, I'm just concerned with churches that are trying to be too modern.
And I was watching one of your TikToks, I don't know if it was a TikTok or the podcast, where you mentioned, I think it was a pastor using props.
Yes, oh my God. You see, performative sermons, also that I steer away from performative sermons because it becomes more about the performance than about the word.
Yeah.
And every Sunday we are entertained. Look, it's the gospel. Sharing the gospel is not about entertainment value.
Yes.
My goodness. Must we see you get a haircut on stage at church? Is that is it absolutely necessary for the gospel? And you get lost in these theatrics and the pastor gets carried away. It draws away from the message, I think. And even in that comment section, people were fighting me. They were like, Jesus used props. I was like, what, bro? And they were even quoting when he used his saliva to restore a man's sight. Mm. I was like, that's not a prop.
Yes, that's not a prop. That's, you know, what was actually happening.
Dude. And then they referred to the handkerchief. That's not a prop. Yeah. Like, they didn't use that.
No, real.
They didn't make a sermon out of the whole handkerchief.
Yeah.
The handkerchief was an item of blessing, which I think... Not I think, I know every child of God has items of blessing. I can bless the scarf right now and leave it here.
Yeah.
And the next person may be healed by touching the scarf. It's not a prop.
Yeah. It's not a prop.
So, even those sermons, stay away from them. Or even if you don't stay away from it, because I understand some people are visual learners.
Yeah.
And so they want to see, like a practical example. That's cool. But again, exercise caution. Yo, because wow.
Hesh. So do you think it's...
Syrup on the Bible?
Hey, no. Yeah. It's a good five. So do you think like it's important for people to go to church? Because some might say it's between them and their higher power.
Please, let's not excuse being undisciplined.
Mm.
As a child of God, you have to go to church, guys. Mm. Yes, your relationship with God is between you and God, absolutely. But so is fellowship. So is having a mentor. Most prophets in the Bible. The people who come to mind are Elijah and Elisha, Samuel and his mentor, forgetting their names. But the great prophets of Scripture had leaders. They had mentors, you know, and that's what, they had shepherds. That's who you find when you go to church. Mm. Also, is it Hebrews? Let me read scripture before they say, hey, Kaya's talking about God and she's not making reference to scripture. It's okay. Just wait. Hebrews 10. Hebrews. Okay. It says, Hebrews 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25 in the Passion Translation. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So even in scripture, we're encouraged to come together. Go to church, my friend.
So, I actually forgot this question. Have you ever experienced any challenges with being opened about your religion and about the word?
What? Every day. Every day.
Mm.
Like I said to you earlier, like it's not cool to talk about Christ and talk about God because it convicts people. You know what I'm saying? It shifts their inner man, you know what I'm saying? Like to say, yo, maybe I'm not living right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I do need to change. And that's uncomfortable for people to hear at all. So, yo, I faced a lot of difficulty on a regular basis that comes in, like, people hate comments, the general hate comments. That, hey, you're lying to us, whatever. And also, people tend to disqualify those who share the gospel based on their past, based on their mistakes.
Oh, that too. Yeah, and they mentioned, but you were like this, weren't you doing this?
Hell, you know? That's the whole point of the gospel, that I was like this, and now I'm not.
Exactly.
Would you look at that?
Mm-hmm. Right?
So, also, practically as an influencer, certain brands steer away from people who are religiously, what is it called? Who express their faith aloud because it's controversial.
Yeah.
Especially Christianity, right? Like, Christians, and when we say homosexuality is a sin, that already cuts off so many brands.
Mm.
A lot of brands are like LGBTQ plus friendly. So I deal with that on a daily basis.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, talking now about like overcoming doubt and questioning your faith, was there ever a time in your life where you had doubts in your faith, and how did you overcome it if you did?
Recently, where I think, again, Jackie said this, how you live your life is evidence of what you believe about God.
Yeah.
And I sat with myself and I realized that the way that I was living my life wasn't a reflection of belief in an almighty God, in God the provider, in God who sees, because I was taking a lot of things into my own hands. And I said, this is one function of pride, a function of pride and unbelief.
Mm.
And so I had to say to the Lord, help me in my unbelief. Again, I'm quote scripture. Before people say she talks a lot, but she doesn't quote scripture. So I think in the recognition that I was moving in unbelief, I endeavored to fix it because I was like, I don't want to function like this.
Yeah.
I love God and I want to live like I love God. And that means living in his commandments, living in his will for my life, and, you know, carrying out the things that he wants me to do. So I literally looked for a Bible plan about doubt. I was like, I need to fix this.
Mm.
And so I always recommend the Bible app, that brown one. If you go, there's a brown one that you see there. I just want to thingy the scripture that I was referencing. So the Bible plan is titled When We Doubt, by who? Who's this person? By the LCBC Church. So it's a really good Bible plan to help you navigate. Mm-hmm. Help you navigate doubt. So the scripture that I want to reference is Mark 9, verse 21 to 24. And this is in the Passion Translation. And this is a father who had a son who was tormented by demons, and nobody could cast the demon out of the boy. And Jesus turned to the father and asked, how long has your son been tormented like this? The man says, since childhood, he replied. It tries over and over to kill him by throwing him into fire or into the water. But please, if you're able to do something, anything, have compassion on us and help us. So the man is saying to Jesus, if you're able, that's an avenue of unbelief, not being sure if God can do something. Jesus said to him, what do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible. What? What do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible to the believer. When he heard this, the boy's father cried out with tears, saying, I do believe. Lord, help my little faith. So, one, you see in the way that you communicate with God where your unbelief is. And that's what I saw, that I didn't believe in him as God of war, Elroy, the God who sees, because I was taking vengeance into my own hands. Like, I'm clapping back at people, I'm being petty, I'm being vengeful. So I need that. That was an evidence of not believing that God sees and God will avenge. Vengeance is of the Lord. And then also, I asked him to help me, because the man says, help my little faith, bro.
Yeah.
It's so little.
Yeah, it's so little.
I don't know. I'm struggling to believe that you're real. I'm struggling to believe that you care about me. I'm struggling to believe that you're present everywhere. I'm struggling to believe that your will is good. Because sometimes it feels like, you know.
And I think it happens to a lot of people that when they pray for something and then it doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
That's when they start, you know, questioning. Mm. So what advice would you have for, you know, people who have self-doubts and start having those questions of, you know, like.
Yeah. And quote scripture again. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Give me a second. Give me a second. And this can also pertain to, so doubt, little faith, anxiety, even depression. I think the scripture is good for. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. I want to focus there on we capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. So your thoughts of doubt, your thoughts of anxiety, your thoughts of questioning, your thoughts of unbelief, all of these things that are against the knowledge of God, capture it, right? Which means look at it for what it is. Look at the thought for perhaps you've prayed and the answer to your prayer hasn't come.
Yeah.
Capture that thought, right? And take it prisoner. Like prisoners of war, when in war times, when you captured a prisoner of war, you interrogated that person. Like, who are you? Mm. Who sent you? Wada wada. And that's what you do with your thoughts in this case. Mm. What is making me have this doubt? What is forcing this unbelief? What is forcing this anxious thought? Interrogate it, right? And then insist that it bows in obedience to the Anointed One. How do you insist that the doubt bows? You look at the evidence against the doubt. Mm. So there is no way that you're going to get rid of doubt if you don't look at the truth. And the truth is the Word. The truth is Jesus. How you deal with unbelief and doubt, look to Scripture. So once you know where that unbelief comes from, you'll know which part of Scripture to look at. Because I encountered a young lady who said she loves God and she knows God, but she doesn't believe in God as a father, because in her life, she never had a father figure. Mm. And so she doesn't even know what fatherhood looks like. And therefore, she doesn't believe in God as the father. That causes her to doubt God being her father. And I said, fine, you're moving in the right direction. Mm. You know where your unbelief is coming from. And you know in which area you doubt.
Yeah.
Now go find in Scripture who God was a father to. Mm. And that will show you the truth against your doubt, against your unbelief. So if, again, your prayer hasn't been answered, you look at that thought, you look at that doubt and unbelief, and go look at somebody else whose prayers weren't answered. Like, for instance, Daniel. Right? Mm. Go look at that. Find that in Scripture. And that will contrast the doubt. Little by little. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing of the Word of God. So go hear the Word of God.
So I want to talk about getting back into your spirituality.
Yeah.
So I think some people lose themselves when they have their doubts. So now, what do you think are some signs that suggest that someone may be called to re-engage into their faith?
Mm. There is, I thank God again, because every creature was born with the knowledge of God. And man, it's beautiful how the Lord works. He steers you inward. So you can see, like, even when somebody has been functioning in unbelief or, you know, abandoned their faith, every now and then, even on their, like, TikTok page or whatever, they'll come across a video about God and it will steer them, like, it will stir them. Yeah. I mean, it'll stir their spirit. Or every now and then, they'll go to church, like, once every 6 months. Those little pullings towards the word or towards Christian environments or towards conversations about Christianity, that's evidence that, hold on, I need to return, right? Because we all have, even the grace that's been given to unbelievers is the gut feeling. That's the grace. You don't have the Holy Spirit, but you have intuition, right? And so that desire or that unction towards God is the smallest thing that you need to know God is calling you and God wants to talk to you and He loves you. Don't ignore the TikTok.
Yeah.
Don't ignore that quote on your Pinterest. Don't ignore somebody's status update about the word. Don't ignore the invitation from a friend to church. You know, all of those little things are evidence that you're moving in the right direction. I feel like that question was, it had two parts to it, or am I lying? Did I answer the entire question?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Because it's how do you, what are signs that suggest that someone is being called to re-engage?
Okay.
Yeah. So have you observed any common obstacles or barriers that young people face when trying to regain their spirituality?
Dude, the world itself is an obstacle. Mm. My God, music, culture, fashion, these are all, like, even just current affairs, there are so many obstacles to figuring out your faith in this current age, in the digital age, and in the world in general. Because I keep saying it's not cool to talk about the gospel. But even media itself propels messages that are against the gospel.
Mm.
For instance, do as thou wilt. Oh my God, that is the most demonic message there is out there. Because it's saying essentially that you are your own God.
Yeah.
Right? You can do as you please. You know? So culture itself, music. Actually, let me talk about music a little bit. A lot of the music that is available now to the youth is against the knowledge of God. It's demonic.
A lot of the music.
It's demonic. It encourages lust.
Mm.
It encourages, and all three kinds of lust. Lust of life, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Hey? No, it's lust of the eyes, lust of pride of life. I forgot the other one. But all kinds of lust, it promotes, like, the putting money at the center promotes that. That's pride of life. Putting your own desires at the center, it promotes that. Everything that you see is trying to steer you away from the truth. That's why I was saying earlier, you have to be cautious.
Mm.
Very, very cautious about music. But even what people wear these days.
Yeah.
It's, bro, you got to be honest with yourself. That outfit don't glorify God. Like,
yeah.
You know? So, these are all the obstacles.
Mm.
Media itself. Your culture itself. Even these podcasts, guys, like, there are certain podcasts where we are sitting and we're discussing.
Hey.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't have to finish that sentence. I'm glad we were here, you know?
Ish, yeah. So are there any particular religious practices that you found to be particularly effective in facilitating a renewed connection in your faith?
Fasting. Fasting is, your man, I can't stress how important it is to fast. Starve the flesh, feed the spirit.
Oh.
You know? That's the whole concept of fasting. And you find that your disconnect between you and God is because of your commitment to the flesh, because of your commitment to living for yourself. The moment you decide, I'm going to fast, I'm not going to do this for this amount of time so I can look into scripture, so I can, you know, do a daily devotional or pray every day, that will draw you nearer. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. Also, going to church, that's like a religious practice that people forsake a lot of the time. That's where you find your fellowship, your community. Mm-hmm. The scripture that I read, Hebrews 10:25. Yeah, 10:25. About fellowshipping with the brethren. That is important because they steer you in the direction that you need to go. That's where you find leadership. That's where you find accountability. Even counseling, you know? Because, again, we're in an age where depression and anxiety and, you know, schizophrenia and all of these things, we need help figuring out and getting rid of, essentially. And you may not know a thing about where depression and anxiety come from.
Yeah.
Where you're going to get that information is from a leader, a church, perhaps, from scripture. They could even steer you in the direction of the correct scriptures to read. So I'd say fasting, obviously prayer, going to church. What other religious practice? Yeah, I think those are the three. And don't just go to church to go to church. Yeah. Like, be present. Service as well, serving God. Even in the moments of doubt, even in the moments of disobedience. I was at this Jesus and Me fellowship not so long ago, and one of the panelists said, in obedience, you don't need faith to be obedient. Obedience gives you the faith you need. So carrying out God's will, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, being selfless, putting God at the center, all of those are ways of practicing obedience that will help you in your unbelief and help grow your faith because you're practicing it vele, you know? Yeah. Obedience. Serving God, aka obedience, prayer, fasting, fellowship.
I really enjoyed this conversation.
Did you really? Yes. Even though my voice is like barely here.
No.
I'm annoyed at my own voice, guys. Please don't comment down below.
I really enjoyed it. And I think I've learned a lot from it.
Call me again next year.
So before we end it off, we have a rapid fire question. So these questions, you just have to answer as quick as possible. complicated, you know. Just answer as quick as possible.
Let's start.
Do you prefer summer or winter?
Summer. Yo, I can't dress for winter.
Yeah.
I'm definitely.
Summer
fashionista.
Okay, podcast or YouTube?
Ooh, podcast. Definitely podcast.
I would say YouTube.
Hey.
Okay, who's your favorite podcaster?
Who's my favorite podcaster? Jackie and her husband. Do you know them?
No. What are they about?
I'm not gonna spoil it for you. Just search With the Perrys.
Okay, I'll definitely do that when there I get home. Your favorite South African artist?
I don't have a favorite South African artist. It used to be Nasty Z. Mm. He was the only one who made me fall in love with like South African music.
Who do you listen to the most, South African?
Nobody, bruh, in South Africa. even if I look at like my, I'm going to my music right now, trying to see like, is there any South African there? Mnqobi? No, I don't listen to Mnqobi. That was just that one song. Yeah, shame. They're still nice to see.
Yeah. Okay, if you could only listen to one song for the rest of your life, what song would it be?
Ooh. Oh my God. There's so many. For the rest of my life. Can I do like genre by genre?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, fine. Gospel or Christian music, I definitely go with Adonai by Pastor Courage. Definitely go with that. Hip hop. Also, I'm very cautious with the hip hop that I listen to. Yo. Nina Bo. No. Probably Born to Win by Nasty and MT. R&B. Oh my gosh. R&B. It's stressing me out, bro. R&B, probably something by Coco Jones. Double Back by Coco Jones. And what a genre am I missing? What genre am I missing? Like, that's all the genres.
Okay. What is your favorite scripture that inspires you?
Inspires me. Yo, I don't have one that inspires. Okay, it encourages me, actually. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 30. Yo, I fell in love with the scripture. I was like, is it true? It is true. Is it true? Is it true? There it is. Oh, my God. I love the scripture. It's so powerful. Mm. It says, again, in the Passion Translation, having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. That's so crazy, bro. What? Hold on. Yes, the Amplified version says, and those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. I'm foreordained and I'm called. Wow. And those whom he called, he also justified. I'm also justified. Mm. Justified means acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. Oh my gosh, I'm acquitted. I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Wow. Raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. I'm foreordained, I'm called, I'm justified and glorified. What a privilege. That's my favorite scripture. Yeah.
If you could have a conversation with any religious figure, who would it be?
In the Bible.
Yeah, in the Bible.
Or like alive right now.
Any.
Bruh. Okay, first I want to talk in the Bible. I want to talk to Job, bro. Or people say Job. But I want to talk to Job.
Like, why?
Yo, that guy went through a lot. I don't know. How did you not? Because the amount of things that he lost and the amount of things that he went through and he still didn't curse God or abandon his faith, I want to know what that took.
What it took, you know what I'm saying?
And then alive right now, I would definitely want to have a conversation with Cliff, the apologist that I was telling you about who debates the gospel on campuses. I would definitely want to have a conversation with him. Because he knows a lot about a lot.
Mm.
Like scientifically, culturally. He has some of the most amazing answers to the questions that people have about Christianity. I'd love to have a conversation with him. And also Jackie. Hey, Jackie.
So on to our last question. What advice do you have for young boys and young girls?
Just in general?
Yeah, in general.
Fear God. Oh, my gosh. Mm. Fear God. I think... Not fear as in terror, like be scared of him. No, but reverence God. I think again, it's such a privilege to know or to have the knowledge of God intrinsically, whether you're a Christian or not. Every living thing has the knowledge of God, and so don't neglect that knowledge. You know God is real, bro. Come on, bro. Like. Don't stress me out. And in your knowledge of God being real, have reverence for him. It'll steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, and don't live for the world.
At all, bro. The world is so fickle. Let me tell you, one day they'll love you, the next minute they'll hate you. The world itself, like culture, will one day agree with you, and the next day it won't. Yeah. One day the world serves you, and the next day it betrays you. Very fickle world we live in. Mm. Stick to the one faithful, true, loving God. Yeah.
Done.
Hey, that's what you guys say. Period.
So yeah, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for coming here. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for being patient with me in my voice.
But you really pulled it off.
I tried. You know, I was speaking from my belly the whole time because I realized if I speak from my throat, you're not going to hear a single thing. Yeah. So I was like dragging it from my innermost. I had to.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning into Unfiltered Chats with Z. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in to more unfiltered discussions on a variety of topics. Until next time, stay curious, stay tuned, and stay authentic. This is Z signing out. See you on the next episode.